Welcome back to the Connected Podcast. I am your host, Rudy J, and today we are joined by Alexandra Albert. Alex is a registered psychotherapist, a counseling astrologer, a cycle educator, and a registered yoga teacher. She offers a holistic and integrative approach to help navigate life seasons so that we can come home to our authentic selves. So this was such an incredible conversation. This is actually the second time Alex has been on the podcast. Our first conversation was more about her work within astrology. So today we actually shifted that conversation and talked all things cycles. So we started out with the menstrual cycle. So breaking this down, the different components or parts and sort of what they encompass. And then we branch out into a broader idea of cycles, understanding that cyclical living is sort of embedded all around us. If we can kind of pay attention, if we can kind of work more in harmony with these cycles of seasons and the moon cycles, we actually see that there are cycles everywhere. And this conversation is really helpful because it breaks down the different seasons within cycles, the different parts. We break everything down. So there's a season for, you know, being a little more internal, less social. There's a season for creating. There's a season for distilling ideas. There's a season for editing ideas. And then of course, we, on a macro level, we talk about how cycles and cyclical nature ties within creativity. As we know, I'm a very creative human. So that's just kind of the way my brain works. And sometimes I feel like I'm really hitting a wall because I feel abnormal or there's pressure to continue to produce, to continue to do, to stay busy, to fit inside of a structure or a box, which if you're creative, I feel like we all are creative to some capacity, that just doesn't work. So this is a really helpful conversation to sort of distill and understand the different parts that encompass bigger cycles so that we don't feel so alone, so we don't feel so scattered. And it actually kind of gives us a loose framework or a structure. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode. Let me know if you have questions, and all of the information will be directly below. Let's get Alex on the episode.
So, Alex, welcome back to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you on today. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really excited to jump back on and continue our conversation. Thanks for having me here.
Of course. So let's give the listeners a little refresher. And also, there's some newness to what you now offer and do in your day-to-day life and your work. So if you want to give the little elevator pitch about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, of course. So I offer psychotherapy, astrology, and yoga for embodied, cyclical, and authentic living. So I do wear a lot of hats. And beyond like my professional roles, I'm also a human being who lives among the cycles of the universe and within myself. And I currently live in North Bay, Ontario.
Amazing. I'm like, okay, wait, that was too elevator pitch. Like, yeah. I need like a little more.
So within all like the integrative approaches that I use, so I use a lot of different modalities. Like, for example, I'm a registered qualifying psychotherapist. I'm a professional astrologer. I'm also a cycle educator. So within all of those approaches, I help people come home to themselves and I help people navigate life seasons, depending on their needs and their goals and the modalities that might help them.
And how do you find that these tie together, all of these different modalities, or how have you managed to actually find a little bit of synchronicity there?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on like what people need and what their goals are. So for example, within like the yoga realm, it's like a highly personal experience with people tune into themselves through like embodiment practices and the breath and meditation and yoga's eight limbs, right? So that's like one part of how I help people like come home to themselves. But if you think from like a psychotherapy dynamic, that is like a deep dive into people's like psyches within like a therapeutic relationship. But then I also integrate like embodiment practices and like breath work into psychotherapy. So it depends on people's needs and goals. Like I said that already, and like how I can meet them where they are.
And do you find that's pretty intuitive? Like when you are meeting with someone maybe for the first time and they're kind of sharing what they're looking for, do you sort of draw on different modalities just depending on where they're at and what you're sensing they need most?
Yeah, and like as a psychotherapist, my approach is pretty eclectic and fluid and intuitive. So I don't necessarily like follow a protocol, but I do resonate with some like theories and like orientations within the world of psychology. So depending on like how I view things and what people come into, like for example, like trauma and stress and wanting to like be their own individual and like live authentically. So like those are kind of themes that like I'm drawn towards, or like relationships, and based on like my view of things and like what I can provide, then it's like a co-creative connected process. And if that resonates with the client, then we can enter like a therapeutic relationship in that sense.
Your sort of entry point was through astrology. That's kind of been the through line. Correct me if I'm
Yeah.
wrong.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I recently posted about this. Yoga came before astrology. So I was going through like my own healing initiation, and I was looking for alternative and like holistic modalities for healing. And then so yoga entered my life, and a yoga teacher mentioned Mercury retrograde in one of her classes, and I was like, "What? Mercury, what is Mercury retrograde?" And this was like almost 10 years ago. So this was before like Mercury retrograde was like a thing on like social media. And it really piqued my curiosity to learn more. So astrology actually entered my life on a deeper level through yoga.
I love that. We share that. And yoga was definitely my entry point as well. Just into
Yeah.
all of the things.
Yeah, and I think like I'm thinking back to like your initial question about like how are all of these connected? I think all of these modalities help you like tune inwards and become more self-aware, and to like, yeah, come, like be more connected to yourself.
And let's discuss the impact of cycle syncing, the nature of everything kind of being in a cycle in one way or another. So maybe do you want to talk about your definition, your idea of what a cycle is, and then its impact?
Yeah, I think this is a really beautiful segue because my knowledge of cyclical living, so you call it like cycle living or cycle syncing. So in terms of like being connected and living in sync with our menstrual cycle, I wasn't aware of that until like astrology came into my life. So it was actually through my knowledge of the moon and the moon's phases and the moon's cycles, and then the broader cycles of each planet, that I actually became aware that we have internal cycles within us that help us become more aware of how our energy, our mood, our thoughts, our body, our behavior, and how like everything is in constant flow. And so that becoming aware of these things and then learning to live in alignment or in sync with these rhythms or this flow, then we can feel, yeah, more connected and more in like harmony with ourselves and the world that we live in.
And can you maybe break down a cycle? So for those who do have a menstrual cycle, I feel like that's pretty not easy, but that's pretty easy for us maybe to understand or to use. But I mean, I feel like more and more I study personally cycles, everything from our biological rhythm in our body is on a cycle, like seasons are cycles.
Totally.
Weather, all of the things. So maybe did you want to pick one resonant cycle and kind of break down the different layers or the levels of that as you see them?
Yeah, and I think we can pick one on like a very like the menstrual cycle is something so practical because it like lives within us, but I also want to bring forth the fact that if the menstrual cycle isn't something that is like accessible for people for whatever reason, that like there are so many cycles around us that we can tune into to sink into. So even if you don't have a menstrual cycle, the wisdom that is within the menstrual cycle can be found elsewhere and connected elsewhere. Does that make sense?
Yes, and I'm actually so happy that you said that because I personally have undergone a very difficult period of time I actually reached out to you. It was probably about a year and a half ago because I lost my cycle. Mm-hmm. I was in a bad car accident. I had a whole bunch of stuff that was, it just completely threw me off. And I have never experienced a dysregulated cycle. Mm-hmm. And so it was very, it was scary. It was chaotic. I felt so out of alignment. I was like, nobody understands. My head feels crazy. My thoughts are scattered. Like mm-hmm. I was just so far from myself. And I remember feeling so helpless because every month I would be like, oh, well, nope, I don't have a cycle again. So I guess I'm just lost. I guess there's no hope. There's no template, you know? So it's really comforting for you to say, because I know I'm not alone in that, mm-hmm. but there are cycles that we can draw on, you know, like the moon cycles or whatever it is. There are rhythms that we can connect to and tap into. I struggled with that so, so deeply. So yes, mm-hmm. thank you for sharing that. And yeah, and let's segue into what the cycles look like and how maybe we can tap in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I appreciate you reflecting that. And it sounds like the cycle for you has been a compass, like an anchor. And so to be without that anchor and that compass was really disorienting.
It was insane.
Yeah.
It was insane.
Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely not alone in terms of like, there's a lot of people who don't have that regular cycle to connect to. So yeah, the moon, the seasons, there's so many other rhythms that we can tap into. Yeah. So if we were to kind of draw in the wisdom of the menstrual cycle and its different phases, I think maybe we can use the metaphor of like this internal compass and how it can like help us navigate the different rhythms that we feel. Mm-hmm. So we have like phase one, or I like to call it like the inner season or the inner new moon. So if we think about the very beginning of the cycle, is typically menstruation, but this is also connected to like the new moon phase in the season of winter. So we can even think about like the energy of winter and how we naturally respond to the winter season in the Northern Hemisphere. So I'm curious, like Rudy, what comes up for you when we're thinking about winter?
Well, since we're sort of emerging from winter, and I feel like this is the first time that I've been this connected to my own cycle, mm-hmm. It was really a drawing inward. It was a drawing inward. It was kind of like this cocooning, hibernating, thoughts kind of, you know, percolating. I wasn't too out and about. I didn't feel particularly social. I was very sort of careful with you know, the networks that I was reaching out to, that I was engaging in, just kind of, yeah, slow and honestly very reflective for me. I was almost looking at patterns. It was very internal. It was very internal and very reflective.
Yeah. And that, I just got chills all over my body. Right. So like that intuitive, like subjective experience of you during the winter season is like a macrocosm of how we might feel during the inner winter during menstruation. Mm-hmm. And we know that that's a reflection of like, we can have larger phases in our lives or larger like seasons or chapters of our life where it's like the energy of the inner winter. Mm-hmm. Right. So if we can understand that there's actually like a really potent, like cyclical intuitive wisdom for us to tap into, then we can have much more acceptance and even like empowerment of like the gifts that that chapter, that season can offer us. So like with that being said, like the archetype here is the wise self or like the elder. So in order for us to actually get those like reflective and introspective or like that internal wisdom, we have to draw the senses and tune inwards, which is really difficult in like the patriarchal capitalist world that we live in.
I was just gonna say I would like to add on that there was a lot of resistance.
Oh, of course.
And a lot of fighting with, it was like my you know, my intuitive self knew, and yeah, I knew it's what I needed to go inward, to reflect, to slow down and all of that. But man, I was like kicking and screaming the whole
yeah,
way.
I'm with you. Especially yeah. as like I identify as like a type A person, like I'm very ambitious, and to like learn to slow down and honor this phase of my cycle has been a growth edge for sure. And I still need to remind myself that like I'm worthy of rest, and that like I like it doesn't feel safe in the world for many people to actually honor that, especially if you have like a lot of external obligations, like you can't like dim down or turn off at this time. So I want to validate that it can be really challenging to actually honor this phase.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like we are not taught, and then we are also not structurally supported.
100%.
Yeah, because I just remember feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm doing nothing. Or the days where I was like, oh, I did this like, you know, deep meditative reflection, or like I uncovered these like wounds that I've been hiding, or whatever it was, you know, something would come up and I would be like, really? That's what you did today? Like, how is that helpful? How is that anything? You know, because we're, I just remember feeling like, who is doing this? And that can also be very isolating.
Especially if we're taught, like we have, we're conditioned to be like, in order to be worthy or valuable in the world, we have to like be out in the world, or we have to be doing this or producing that. And then if we're not like following that script or that conditioning, then we feel like we feel worthless.
Right. And moving into the next phase of the cycle.
Yeah. So we're kind of feeling it right now in nature. Right? We're like, we're beginning to emerge out of winter. The like days are getting longer. And I know for myself, I feel I'm getting more energy. I feel more optimistic. And so this is like a reflection of the energy that we might feel during the follicular phase. So this is kind of like the inner waxing moon, where like we start to emerge out of like our inner winter or that new moon energy. And we start to feel and see the light. So often there's a connection, like, especially if we can really, we can tap into the gifts of like the inner winter and menstruation. Sometimes we can get this like seed or intention or this like vision that we want to like create and birth out into the world. Then like, this is like kind of like the inner spring is like this sense of like hope and optimism for this like seed, or like this planting of this seed into like our social realm. So I'm curious to hear like how this is resonating with you, and even like your connection to like the spring season.
So yeah, I'm definitely feeling this sense of renewal and, you know, rebirth. And it's a subtle shift. It's a gentle shift. And for me, I know because I have a tendency to kind of go full force and jump in. I'm a triple fire sign. So I just want to like, go. And it's like, okay, I'm feeling a little bit better now. Let's like all, you know, let's fire on all cylinders, when really I'm learning like to sustain myself a little bit, to take a little more time. Yeah. So, and you said something there, this seed. So the seed is not the full expression, right? Like the seed is almost like that. Okay. I've now distilled everything from this sort of winter season. And now I've come out with this, you know, delicate seed, which yes, it's an expression of hope and light. I love that, but it's not its full expression, right? It's like,
And so we have to like nurture that. I think there's I think in terms of like not burning yourself out and like having some sort of like, it's kind of like an inner child, like inner teen energy too, where it's like, there's like a lot of like excitability, but it can be like kind of like, clumsy for lack of better words. Or we have this like vision or this idea that we're like really excited about, but we're still vulnerable. So another metaphor that I have is kind of like an egg, that if this seed or this idea, or even like yourself and your energy is like an egg, like how can you nurture and protect the egg until it's like ready to actually like bloom?
Until
it's ready to crack.
And I think this is so helpful. I'm laughing because I'm like, I've been feeling a little manic lately. like just energy. Just like, wow, like I'm so excited, like all the, and you know, and again, it's like, yeah, that nurturing is key, especially I think because this season we didn't have like a full-on winter, you know what I mean? Like it didn't feel as wintry as normal. I don't know, there's a little bit of frenetic energy that I'm really happy that you gave me this seed metaphor, because I almost feel like there is pressure too on us humans to think like, okay, we're emerging, that means we have to have this like perfect crystallized, everything has to be ready and accomplished, you know what I mean? But a seed Yeah, it's still a baby, it's still an egg, it's still delicate.
Yeah. So this is like a reflection of like the larger creation cycle. Right? We were initially talking about like the menstrual cycle, but now we're like actually talking about the life cycle and the creation process and like the season. So it's all connected. Yeah. So the next phase is the ovulation phase. So this is kind of like the energy of the full moon, the energy of the inner summer. And like I haven't been mentioning hormones, but like on a biological level, this is typically like when we feel like the highest level of estrogen. So we can think about like how we might feel in the summer, like what is our relationship to the summer season? Well, I feel really good personally during the summer. It's like I feel like social and I have a lot of energy and like everything's in bloom and it's like abundant in nature and like I'm much more active and yeah. So what about yourself, Rudy?
So this is a tricky one for me because last summer was actually a very, very dark time for me. Again, because I was so disconnected from my own cycle. So it was almost, and actually now I'm like kind of processing out loud because I'm like, no wonder it felt so disorienting, like on top of how I already felt. It was like there was pressure to be out and about, to like, lighter clothing, be busy, be in the sun, be social, but I wasn't feeling that way on the inside. So it was very, yeah, it was really difficult. It was a lot of conflict. Like I didn't like my body, I didn't like my clothes. I felt just completely, yeah, just not great.
Yeah,
And
and
go ahead.
yeah, so like I'm really thankful that you're saying this because each and every single one of us will have a different experience and relationship to each phase, depending on what's going on in our lives, even like what we've been through. So like I'm saying like these general, like I'm offering general associations to like the energy of each phase, but really depend, it's so subjective, right? So based on how you were feeling, like actually being exposed, like in that level of like that full moon clarity or illumination, or like it being expected to be out in the world, but meanwhile, like your internal, you were having like a different internal season, and it didn't feel like it was in harmony.
And that's the biggest, I think that's the biggest part, that the disharmony, it was. Yes, and it's tricky because I don't want to say it was wrong to feel that way or wrong to feel, out of sync or out of alignment, but I did definitely intuitively know, like, okay, this is not, this is not my norm, this is not my usual, this is not, doesn't seem in sync, doesn't seem in flow, and that made it that much heavier. But I will say there, going into this season, this, upcoming spring and summer, I am definitely excited. Like, I'm definitely like, ooh, this was such a profound like realization for me to look back and be like, remember where we were and remember how far we've come, and let's like use that and carry it with us into this season. Like there's an excitability that I honestly, I worked really hard on my inner to get to where I am now. So yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to be careful about how I'm saying this because again, everyone's, like you said, everyone's experience is so different, but I definitely feel, yeah, excited this.
And it sounds like you had like a lot of like this has been like a resilience experience for you too.
Definitely.
Right. And I want to point out that you're like by honoring your own internal season, like what was going on within you. You were able to get through it versus like, and maybe you had moments of like feeling like, oh, like I should be feeling this because like this is what is expecting of me, or this is what like the season is outside, but really being able to come but home to yourself and being like, actually, this is how I'm feeling inside, and this is what I need to honor.
Exactly. I was like, if I can do it under these circumstances, I don't think I'll ever be this low
So
again.
then that takes us into the fourth phase. So this is like the inner waning moon. This is the inner fall, and also known as the luteal phase. So we're going into it's like the premenstrual phase of the cycle. So at this point, like on a biological level, estrogen has dropped and progesterone has risen. And so if we think about what happens in the fall, like after summer, of course, there's that beautiful phase of the season, like the leaves changing and things getting cooler. And then like at some point, everything starts to die. We have to let go of all this like beautiful abundance. And essentially, like I look at like a forest and I see all the trees are super bare and like really vulnerable. So that's how it can feel in our fall, where we felt like, let's say we had a really positive experience of feeling like energetic and like productive in the world and really full and whole. And then we have to like let that go. And our energy starts to like slowly decrease, and we don't have the same capacity that we had in the previous season.
Would you say, in your opinion, are we meant to be always going through this process of, you know, kind of inward reflection, creating, you know, new seeds, nurturing those seeds, allowing them to blossom, bloom, and then, you know, to fall away? And would you say, if we can kind of work in better harmony with these cycles, there's perhaps less resistance? And something like I went through, which was a severe kind of breakdown. It was almost like spirit, universe was literally like, okay, you're not listening to these seasons, or you are so disconnected from the seasons, we are going to shut everything down and like restore you. I almost wonder if I had been able to be closer to the cycles, that, you know, the death and the rebirth process maybe wouldn't have been as volatile as I had experienced.
Yeah, I mean, like the cycles are definitely more sustainable, right? So it helps us, like, there is this process of like putting ourselves, it's like a death and rebirth process, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like we put ourselves out there, we become, we create, and then there is this sense of like, okay, we need to let go and we need to let go, die, and be reborn again. So if we're like, mm-hmm. if we are resisting that, even though we might hear the calling, or we're like denying it, or we're like numbing ourselves from it, at some point, like even like on a larger, like, yeah, way, will manifest in like illness, or in like in your experience, like you had like, yeah, the accident, which served for you, it sounds like a really big spiritual awakening.
Definitely.
I think in my worldview, especially being really connected to cyclical living and all the cycles of the universe, that I really do believe we are meant to continuously flow through a process of death and rebirth. Mm-hmm. And if we think about like even this process that we've gone through, the seasons, and reflecting that to the menstrual cycle, it is a reflection of the life cycle, even like the way that we are born from seed. And then like literally like our entire lifespan is a reflection of what happens in the menstrual cycle in a different, like it's like same, but different.
Mm-hmm. And maybe what would you say we can do to help us work a little closer with cycles, or what do you think keeps us more disconnected than connected to these cycles or cyclical living?
I will start with your like second question. I think what makes us disconnected or contributes to that is definitely the structures of society. So the way that all our systems are based on a patriarchal cycle that neglects the intuitive cyclical wisdom. So if we're like, and I think one of the biggest things is like our work schedules, right? And how, and like the ideologies that we have internalized from society in order to be like a productive, worthy, valuable member of society. I think if we are assigning ourselves and how we should be living according to those standards, then we're going to be disconnected from ourselves and our internal wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Maybe can you give a couple of examples, maybe even just having worked with clients on this, of what that looks like?
Yeah, and I think this is like something that a lot of people experience, is like expecting yourself to be functioning at 100% every single day. The same standards of needing to be like productive, and like outgoing, like that we were like, oh, I need to be feeling good and like I need to be like the same every day. And it's just not realistic when our like mood, our energy, our body literally changes on a day to day.
It almost sounds like we kind of have like our daily cycle as well. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like there's mm-hmm. a different, it almost sounds like you're saying there's a different rhythm for each day. And I know I'm guilty of this, you know, I'm always in my brain like, well, wait, but that worked last time. Why isn't that working now? Or, but that made me feel better then. Why is it not like we almost, it sounds like that's like the resistance to, you know, letting go and approaching each day as brand new, as different energetically.
Yeah. So learning like those internal check-in skills of being like, how do I feel today? How can I have compassion for that? And like, what do I need? And I know that is like so easier said than done. like, it's a living, breathing practice. And I think like things like yoga and like psychotherapy and all these other modalities can help us like uncover those things. And ultimately, like, I think it, going back to like that, the first part of the question, like what helps us be more connected, I think you said, is if you are connected to your menstrual cycle, if beginning to track your cycle and noticing how you feel and how your energy shifts throughout your cycle is like, I would say my number one recommendation.
Can we maybe shift to the creative side of this or through a creative lens, what that process might look like, whether, I mean, I'm a very creative person, you know, maybe someone's a writer or a painter, a musician. I feel we are all creative. I honestly think all humans are creative to some capacity. How that process ideally or optimally would go.
Yeah. So we like mentioned that like seed metaphor earlier mm-hmm. and, the book Wild Power by Alexandra Pope and Sonny Wurlitzer has a really wonderful explanation of like the chambers of menstruation. So if we have the resources and the capacity to actually drop into to the menstrual cycle, it's a really unbelievable the types of like visions or like inspirations that can come through. And I know this is like really challenging for some people who have a debilitating experience with menstruation. So I just want to put it out there. That we all have different experiences, but like menstruation is so, so powerful. Having any kind of intuitive practices, journaling, art, those kinds of things can be really, really powerful to get the power of menstruation. And some people will say that like, oh, like on menstruation, like you should be hibernating and like maybe not like expressing your creative gifts during this phase. And this depends on each individual, but life doesn't always like work out that way. There's a mystery in everything. We can't plan everything accordingly. So for example, if you have like a performance scheduled, then it might actually land on like the day one of your cycle. And so something that might weave itself really interestingly in your performance is like the wise archetype, or like it's also like the dreamer kind of archetype that can connect to something really spiritual during your performance. There's like two ways to go about that. Did that make sense?
It definitely makes sense. Let's say I'm a writer. I have this idea of a book I want to write. Maybe my first phase, it's very, you know, I'm reflecting. I'm not really doing much external. I'm kind of percolating, you know, the what I want to be writing about. And then maybe the second phase would be, okay, I create this like blueprint, like a skeleton of what I'm doing. And then I maybe flesh it out. Like, does that?
Yeah. So like, even like the seasons that we've talked about that are like interwoven in so many parts of us can be applied to the creative process. So there's like, yeah, that one stage where like, it's not even like manifested yet. It is just a mere idea or this like spark of inspiration. That is like the inner winter part of like the creative process. And then there is like, okay, we slowly start to bring that forth and nurture that seed. So whether that's like actually writing it down or sharing our ideas with some people and letting that grow, maybe even starting to write it and until it starts to take shape.
Yeah, I feel like I'm still learning when to let go, when to be a little more reflective. I'm still very attached to the external, to the doing, to the, you know, I'm very good at that. I'm very good at, okay, I'm just going to like put this out there and see what happens. I'm just going to like, but I'm slowly starting to tap into where there's more harmony, where there's more ease, and where there's more potency actually in sort of trusting and learning to work with the rhythm of creativity as opposed to, as opposed to forcing or, you know, it's a winter and spring. That definitely makes a lot of sense. What part of the creation process would be summer then?
Okay, the book is written, published. You might be going to speaking events to promote your book, like posting on like social media platforms about the book. The book is like created, it's bloomed, it's out there in the world. Because one of the initiations of like the summer season is to like be celebrated, to be seen, to be acknowledged in like what you've actually created in the world. So whether that's like a book or a child or like anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some people like to have different relationships to that. Like, how do you feel when you're in the limelight? How do you feel when you're seen in that fullest expression? Or like, what comes up for you when your book is written and like published and it's out there?
Okay. And so it almost sounds like as much as we want to be able to put things, experiences into these, you know, seasons, even the cycles, it's like, maybe your winter season is longer than your spring. Maybe your spring is a little long, bleeds into your summer. And then it's, you know what I mean? Like, I just watch myself right now. I'm like, oh, I'm trying to like make this like really clear, concise sort of structure of the creative process. And it's like, but maybe not, because now I'm thinking like, oh, summer, you know, you put your creation out there and you're all excited. But as you're saying, like, there's so much reflection, because then you're getting all of this feedback, and we would like to think in our brain, yay, we're done, we put it out, everything's great. It's like, no, not necessarily. You're getting feedback. You're probably, you know, getting some criticism or self-judgment, or you're feeling like, oh, was that right? Did I do that right? How can I do it better next time? Like,
so the self-judgment piece is like the inner fall. Right. When we start to, there is a pop, like, I feel like estrogen for a lot of people, it's like a glossy kind of energy, right? We like a lot of times we can feel like more confident, but as soon as that estrogen drops, we like, it's almost like we can see more clearly, including all of the flaws. Right. So it can be a really sobering time where we start to see, like, criticize and be really hard on ourselves. But this is also a really important part of the creative process, to be able to edit and like refine, integrate the feedback and the criticism and make something better and like more crystallized or even more true to who you are.
Mm-hmm. How would you say we can do that in a way that's maybe a little softer? Because I agree with you, it's the edit. I'm like, oh, I love that metaphor, because editing is not wrong. It's not bad. You know, like when I'm writing, I love the editing process. I believe that you can always go deeper or find a better word or find a better, do you know what I mean? It's a really important process, but I think for a lot of people, it almost deters them, because that judgment, that criticism, that fear almost keeps people from sharing, or we take it too personally, or we take it as a reflection of who we are as opposed to something we've done, or you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And then so in that time, like, remember like the vulnerability piece I was talking about, the space, it's like the shadows, our wounds come up to the surface to be able to be, it's like a really powerful time for shadow work. So if you can have some sort of curiosity for what comes up in that energetic phase, then that is when we can actually do the tender healing work and like bring even those like rejected parts or those scared parts like home to ourselves, and either like show them compassion or transform them if they're based on like a belief or like a past experience that is showing up as a ghost in the present moment. So I would say like curiosity and compassion when the inner critic shows up are like really helpful tools or like attitudes to adopt.
Why is that so hard?
It's really hard. It's part of the human experience.
Mm-hmm. What is your definition of connection?
I think like when I think about the word connection, I think of relationship. So I think about relationship to self, the relationship to others, to land and nature and the seasons, relationship to the universe. The word connection in terms of like relationship has a really special quality to it. It's like that relationship has an interconnected and interrelated quality.
Is there anything else that you want to share, that you're feeling called to share or express in this moment?
The thought that's coming to mind, like if cyclical living and cycle syncing is something new for listeners, our conversation may have seen like a lot. We threaded a lot of different micro and macro cycles together. And so if I were to kind of end our conversation with seasons, these like four primary seasons that we have within us and all around us are found in every single life cycle. Mm. So whether that's like our own life, the seasons of nature, or the menstrual cycle, or the creative process, or the moon cycle, that we all fundamentally go through this cycle. And for me, it's a way of like becoming more aware and more connected. And I think there's a level of acceptance or like self-acceptance or compassion that can come when we can bring this wisdom to our lives.
Beautiful. And where can listeners go to connect with you beyond the episode?
So my Instagram handle has changed since the first time we chatted on the podcast. So now it's @wild.therapywithalex. Otherwise, they can head over to my website, www.wildastrologybyalex.com. Something that I am leaning more towards these days as we're recording this conversation is I'm accepting new clients for virtual psychotherapy. So if anyone feels called to work on that level with me, then they can reach out. And otherwise, mm-hmm. I also have my other services ongoing. So astrology readings, yoga classes, workshops, and cycle education.
What are some good reasons or some places people might find themselves in this moment that your work might benefit them?
Let's say they find themselves in a season like you experienced recently, Rudy, of like the inner winter, and they're having like a hard time actually navigating that season of their life. Or like any season, right? Some people might have a hard time actually like stepping into the power of their inner summer, right? So if they feel some sort of stuckness or resistance or a hard time actually like embodying any season of their life, then yeah, working with me might be a good support.
Beautiful. Well, Alex, thank you so much for coming back on the podcast and sharing all that you did today.
Thanks, Rudy. It was really great chatting, and I hope we can chat again soon.
And that wraps up another episode. Thank you guys so much for being here and for tuning in. For show notes, questions, check out everything below the link wherever you are tuning in. Share the episode with someone in need. If you have ideas, if you want me to interview or bring someone on the episode, if you want me to expand more on topics, please reach out and let me know. I love hearing from you guys. Otherwise, have a wonderful rest of your day and stay connected.